Tomorrow, the city's draft water strategy is going to be open for public comment and recommendations. The city has been looking at what it needs to do in order to ensure greater water security over the next 10 years. And it wants to increase available capacity by more than 300 million litres a day over the next 10-year period, and says that they're going to be continuing to rely on rain-fed dams for most of our water because it's cheaper than alternative supply sources. But because new surface water resources are limited, they're going to meet increasingly demand from alternative sources like groundwater, water reuse and desalination. I haven't had a chance to have a look at the strategy. I look forward to talking about it tomorrow afternoon. And from tomorrow, the public participation process will give residents one calendar month, so up until the 15th of March, in which to scrutinize the city's plans to prepare for water security and to share constructive views on it. Dr. Jasper Slingsby is a scientist at the South African Environmental Observation Network. Jasper, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
And I suspect that you're one of the people we might be reaching out to once we have the detail of this draft water strategy. But you sent out a tweet yesterday which interested me. Apparently, the city is still officially a disaster area when it comes to the drought, despite the relaxed water restrictions down to level 3 and a much more relaxed tone in all of its communications about water.
Yeah. I mean, our dams are more than twice as full as they were last year, and we would have to have incredibly bad rainfall and very bad water usage to run out of water anytime soon. And yet they maintain the state of disaster. Essentially, it seems it's a strategy that allows them to continue bending the rules a little, one of which is sidestepping the National Environmental Management Act. So all the works that they're doing don't require environmental impact assessments and so on. And I'm also led to believe it allows some more flexibility in the way they spend their money. So it does seem a little bit like there's a bit of smoke and mirrors happening rather than, I struggle to see the city as a current state of disaster. I don't know how you feel, other than the electricity, of course, but that hasn't been announced yet.
Okay, and is this within the city's powers to continue to hold on to disaster status? Is that not something which is in the decision-making power of the National Department of Water and Sanitation?
So a disaster can be declared at all three levels of government, so national, provincial, and local, or the municipal level. My understanding is, and I might not have this right, is that for it to be declared at the local level, it has to have been declared at a higher level. So at one stage, we were a disaster at all three levels, but the national government, the provincial government have both since rescinded that status some time ago now, almost a year ago now. And yet the municipality has continued saying, oh no, we're still a disaster. My understanding is that the provincial government has actually told other municipalities they're not allowed to be in a disaster anymore, but for some reason the rules seem different to the Cape Town.
Okay, we're obviously going to have to follow up with the City of Cape Town. We did try to get comment this afternoon, but that did not prove possible, so we'll try tomorrow afternoon. Bending the rules, what do you mean by that? If your suspicion is true and that part of the reason why they are continuing to hold on to that disaster status is to allow greater flexibility in spending money and also bending the rules, what do you mean by bending the rules? In what way?
Well, I can't imagine what the gain would be other than making it easier to go forward with these kind of emergency drought augmentation schemes. I'd be fascinated if the city can provide another argument other than making it easier to grease the wheels to make these projects go forward. If that makes sense.
Yeah, so I mean, in what way would they be bending the rules? And sometimes one gets the sense that red tape is so strangling that an ability to bend the rules to allow greater response time or flexible response time and so on is not necessarily a bad thing.
It is and it isn't. But I suppose what they're busy implementing now is essentially all of the water upgrades the city had planned for the next 50 years, or what should have been the last 30 years as well. And essentially, it's coming at quite a big environmental cost and with some very poor planning going ahead. And whereas if they were to take some time and do it properly, then I think we could see much wiser approaches being taken. I mean, as an example, at Steenbus for the Table Mountain groundwater, they're spending 325 million rands on getting 15 to 20 megalitres per day out of that scheme. If you invested that much money in alien clearing, you could clear all of the catchments for recouping 100 megalitres a day over 30 years. If you don't do that, then you're going to be losing 300 megalitres a day. So that's a 20-to-1 return on investment ratio. It seems a little silly to be going for a scheme that requires electricity to get your water and costs you a lot more money.
Dr. Jasper Slingby, thank you very much. Scientist at the South African Environmental Observation Network.